I'm trying to get a fucking food.
Morning, Rabbi Sai. Very appropriate today for us to continue the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. The Gemara. So we learned the story 2 days ago that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion went to visit Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said that we ought to be listening to the Roman authorities and that you shouldn't be teaching Torah. And he said, "I'm sorry, but I got no choice." Then the Gemara continues as follows. And then he said, "What will happen to me for?" Olam Haba, and he said, "Yeah, because you did something good, therefore you're entitled to Olam Haba." Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma actually died of this illness, whatever it was. And it says that Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, there's a whole shir on Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Pahamachas Alakti on Perek Vov. It's a whole separate shir as to whether or not Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma did take the job or didn't take the job, where did he go to, where was he coming from, etc., etc. But there is one version that says that he actually became the Rav in Caesarea. He became the Rav in Caesarea and he became Korov the Malchus. And that's why he was so pro the Romans. He wasn't pro Roman, obviously, but he held that the Bnei Yisrael, the Rabbein Shalom Bashet, that we should be under their oppressive rule, and therefore we have to go along with it and we have to put up with it. So the Romans regarded him as a friendly rabbi.
Well, Yankee, you called Caesarea then?
Well, yes, it was. It was called Caesarea by the Romans, who built the town as a port in order to be their headquarters there at Tisrael, named after the Caesar, the Caesar. The Caesar, that's where Caesarea came from. And that was the headquarters of the Roman army and the Roman governor there. And he became Pashas in one of the versions. One of the possibilities is he became the Rav there. Because otherwise, why does it say that when he died and he was buried in Meron, which is a fair journey, even today, I think, it's a couple of hours from Caesarea, if you're driving. And it says, V'holchul kol gadoyle roimei lekovroi. It says that all the gadoylim of Roimi went to bury him. V'espidu hespe godoyle. And they actually made a hesped. They said, this is the sort of rabbi that we need, a rabbi who tells the people to listen to the laws. Yeah, well, the Chazar Osan, and on the way back, this gets back to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, when all the gadoyle roimi were on their way back from Meron. One could go visit the kever of Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma in Meron. But on the way back, they caught Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion teaching Torah and holding a Sefer Torah. Heavy Yuhu, they brought him, they burnt him at the stake. So he's standing there, he's been wrapped in a Sefer Torah, he's on the fire, they've soaked cotton wool and placed it on his heart in order that it should take a long time. Omaloi Bitoi. Now he had two daughters at least. His wife, he was sentenced to be burnt at the stake. His wife was also sentenced to be killed, it says. She was sentenced to the Misa. And one of his daughters was sent into a brothel. One of his daughters was punished to become a Zoyna, presumably for the Roman army. But the other daughter was called Bruria, who became the wife of Ramea. And it says later on, there's a separate story in Chazal, how Ramea rescued his sister-in-law from the brothel. But that's another Chazal, that's not our subject. We're still in Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. We're in the situation where he is being burnt at the stake, and the rest of the story will continue tomorrow. Interesting, though, I thought was that today one of the five things that happened was Sarah Apustamus es HaTorah. And I think we've had a shir on the subject. We don't really know who Apustamus was or which Sefer Torah he burnt. Yeah, one of the five tragedies that occurred today was Sarah Apustamus es HaTorah. And we don't know who Apostolos was. It sounds like a Greek name. It sounds like, but we don't know. But
a Jewish guy who converted.
We don't know. In Jewish, I say there are versions, yeah. And but there were thousands of Sefer Torah have been burnt in Jewish history. Yeah, the Romans must have burnt thousands, and the Germans, and the Romans, and everybody in France in the 1240s, etc., and during the pogroms, and I don't know what, there must have been thousands of Sefer Torah burnt. White Africa, Sarah, Apostolos, and Satoria. All I'm saying is the first mention that we have of someone burning a Sefer Torah is the Romans when they wrapped it around Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion and they burnt him inside the Sefer Torah.
Started the Torah in Northwest London Thursday, Shavuos of the Tammuz. 2nd of July, Rabbi Adam Matha Shlita in Yonah de Yoma. Rabbi Matha is from base Medrash Elyon. This week's Torah is sponsored by Lila Nishmas of Esther Bas Hamayah Shalom, and in honor of the upcoming marriage of Shira Shetichia to Yudah Shani Nerioa, and Lila Nishmas of Nosson Ben of Nosson Halevi Yuziasa with La Shabbos. Lila Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yusuf Dov Ben of Shimon Chol Tzvi Itzkevitz of Chronoli Bracho.
Today we give, obviously, Ben HaNetzarim is starting today. It's a period of time where it's dangerous for Klal Yisrael. We know a lot of things, bad things happen throughout the Doris. We have the things that Kaveh Chazal, what happens on each one of these days. In addition to that, we've seen later on, every time we seem to come to this time of year, things like the expulsion from Spain. Lots of things seem to always fall and happen around this time of year. The Gemara Nedarim asks the question, Amav Da'aretz, talking with reference to the first Beis HaMikdash, why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? I heard from Moshe Weiss, it's a very strange Gemara. The answer the Gemara gives is, Lo Berchu Tchila, they didn't make a bracha before learning Torah. Problem is, why are they asking the question? We know the answer, and that's not the answer. We know the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Gimel Averis they were doing. Gerei Raya Shichos Dami, Man of Adazara, we know that's why. So what's the Gemara asking the question? So Moshe Weiss said, that's not the question. We know why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They did these Gimel Averis, we know what happened. The question that Gemara Darim is asking is not what happened, it's how did it happen? How did we get to a point where Yidden are going around willy-nilly breaking these three Averis? How did we get to that point? We got to that point because Lo Berchu Tchila, they didn't make the bracha first. Which bracha? There's three brachas in Birkas HaTorah. Which bracha did they not make? They weren't making the bracha of Harevna. However, not the Torah has to be sweet, beautiful, wonderful, cherished, learned besimcha. That's the bit that they missed. The other two brachas they made, Birchas HaMitzvah, were learning Torah, but v'harevno, that's what they were missing. If you don't have the harevno, the Torah doesn't have the koach. And as Chazal tell us, I was reminded of this the other day by the Menahal of Elyon. As Chazal tell us that Yidden have a tremendous koach and mashchit. Yidden can really have destructive power. Yidden could destroy the whole world. What stops us doing it? The Torah. We learn Torah. The midas we get from Torah, the erech we get from Torah for the world and everybody else, that's what holds back this destructive force that we have. But when we lose that simcha in Torah, that cheshek for Torah, and that sweetness of Torah, then we lose it. That's when everything starts to go wrong. The Chidor writes in his Avodas Hashem that anyone who does a Tanis, whether it's one's Chazal fixed for us, whether it's optional Tanisim that people take upon themselves, the ikkah of the Tanis is not to eat. The ikkah of the Tanis is to do tshuva. So someone who goes through a Tanis as the chida and doesn't do tshuva that day, it was all for nothing. He didn't eat for the day. Shkoich, he didn't eat. But if there's no tshuva there, the whole point of Tanisim is to get you to do tshuva, is to wake you up. If you're not doing tshuva on a fast day, you've missed the point, says the chida. So we're lucky in that Chazal tell us, what is the point, what did we miss? When we want to do tshuva, we thought doing tshuva for. So people sometimes, if they have things wrong, they want to do a tanis in mechaper. They know what they have in mind. They know which averus they want to mechaper or their own personal cheshbon when they do those tanisim. We have the same. We have a tanis now. We know why we're doing it. One of the reasons is lots of reasons. But one is, Lo Berchu Tchila, we didn't learn Torah with simcha and with cheshek. So today, as one of the things that we should do tshuva, the best way to do it is to make sure that all the Torah we do today is besimcha and is with cheshek. Because that's how we do that tshuva to mechata for what we did. But what I thought useful to do today is to go through the halachas. We know the Gemara and Brachas says that since the Chorban and the Shechina, the Olam Hazeh only died almost a halacha. The Chazon Ish in Emunah B'tochen, the whole paragimel is about learning halacha. It should be the Ikka Limud. So if we're going to do mechata on this thing of not learning Torah with Cheshek, let's learn today. Let's go through some halachas today of general Tanisim, not specific to Shvai Sabbat Tammuz, but general Tanisim. So we know that the four Tanisim that Chazal fixed for us, Shvai Sabbat Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tevis, and Som Gedalia, everyone has to fast. Al Tafresh Min HaTzibur, every adult, male and female, we'll get to ladies a bit later on, but male and female has a chiyuv to fast on all of these days. So when does the Tanis start? Aside from Tisha B'Av, they all start at Losa Shachar. So the question is, some people, it's hard, especially in Europe, when the Shvai Sabbat Tammuz is so long, it's hard to fast for such a long time. From, depending how you're working out Alois, it's far a bit more makel. Alois fast was like 3:35 this morning. But for some shit, you're going from 1 o'clock in the morning, it's already Alois. It's hard to do such a long time. So what a lot of people want to do is they want to eat first. Can we eat before Alois HaShachar? So So if you're staying up the whole night, then fine, halach is poshut, that if you're staying up the whole night, you can eat and drink all the way till alos ha-shachar, and this goes not just for a time, it's also on a normal day. Rav Issa, on a normal day, lo tochol adam, we dash in the pasuk, a person's not allowed to eat before shachris. So again, when does this kick in, says the Shulchan Aruch? Kicks in from alos. So the same with the tan, it's from alos. But if you're up the whole night, so you can eat and drink all the way till alos.
Alos is 1:05
now, sir. So 1:05, I say, depending how you hold it. For Sfardim, we get a bit more, a few more hours leeway. But the rest of the year, especially when you're looking at alos at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, then you have a lot more to talk about. So the question is that if you stay up the whole night, it's fine. What if you want to go to sleep? I don't want to stay up the whole night. I want to go to sleep, tired. 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock is my bedtime. I want to go to bed my normal time. I just want to wake up at 12:45 and eat something. Okay, or 3 o'clock, whichever shitter you're going by. Can I do that? So the problem we have is normally when a person goes to sleep the night before a time, it's behold, he's makabel the time, it's really. He knows, when he wakes up, he knows he's going to be fasting. So already when he goes to sleep, he has that in mind. So there is a way around that. And the way around is to make a t'nai. We can make a t'nai, a person will go to sleep. It doesn't have to be a verbal t'nai. It can be a mental t'nai as well. That he wants to get up at this time. He's setting an alarm clock for this time because he wants to eat before.
When we come to town, the time is makabel for the morning, not for...
But when you go to sleep, your mindset is...
For the morning.
For the morning. Mindset is that when I wake up, it will be a t'nai. I don't expect to eat breakfast that day. That's my mindset.
You need to make a t'nai before.
Because when you go to sleep, you have in mind, this is it. I'm going to sleep now. Tomorrow is a t'nai. I'm not eating.
Yeah, but if you want to eat before
the start. So if you are saying to yourself, fine, I'm setting my alarm clock for 2 in the morning, that's a t'nai. Why are you doing that? It doesn't have to be a verbal t'nai. It could be a mental t'nai. Just I'm thinking to myself, I want to eat tomorrow morning before the t'nai, so I'm going to set my alarm clock. However, this is not a lechat chila. Why not? Because other Shulchan Aruch Paskan, the Lot Chol Adam, that you know how to eat before Shachris, only kicks in for Malois. Alpi the Zohar, that's not the case. Alpi the Zohar, this Issa kicks in the second you wake up. According to the Zohar, from when you wake up in the morning until you daven Shachris, regardless of when you wake up, a person is not allowed to eat. And the Behete brings this in Hilchos Tanis, and he says, this is an issue for us. Because although, yes, you can get round the Psak Halach of the Shulchan Aruch that it only starts from Alois. And the Tanis definitely starts from Alois. But what about the prohibition of the Zohar not to eat before Shachris? So Rav Avadya Yosef says, we're Mekel. Why are we Mekel? Because when Chazal made the Gzeira on the Tibur, we don't make Gzeiras the Tibur can't stand by. Especially in the summer when Europe's very long. Some people can't get through the fast without eating beforehand.
But before Alois is not Chiyuv Shachris yet.
Very good, but the Zohar holds that going to sleep, when you wake up, that brings you already. It's a chiddush in the Zohar, the Zohar holds. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass them like that. But a chiddush to be choshesh. So on a public fast, we're not choshesh to this. On a public fast, someone who needs, he feels, he's not going to get through the day if he doesn't eat before Alois, then he can make this night, go to sleep, wake up, have a good geshmak of breakfast before, and you're good to go. And the difference is, what about someone who has a Tanis Yochid? He's taken upon himself to do a fast. Shulchan Aruch lists many, many fast days. In Tes Kuf Hei, the Shulchan Aruch lists many yoms of Tanesim, Tes Ba'adar, another one because it's my birthday, but there's many other ones that he lists there, the Yotzei of Aaron, the Yotzei of Moshe, many lists that he has there of Tanesim that people do. The Shulchan Aruch says Anshei Maaseh fast every Friday. In Ben HaMetzarim, the Shulchan Aruch brings, there's a minag, to some people have the minag of fasting every day from Shavuot Tamuz Thomas to Tisha B'Av. Some people fast Shoivim, some people fast Yemei Aslichas. Many Tanesim that we have. People fast for Yotzites, of parents. Many Tanesim that we have. The Rav Avadya, based on the Behetev, says, for those Tanesim, we're not Mekel. If someone decides to take a Tanis upon themselves, the whole point of a Tanis comes from a Dibrei Kabbalah. A Dibrei Kabbalah, a Tanis, has koyach not just to wake you up for tshuva, it also has things going on that we don't understand. That's what a Tanis is. But if the same Kabbalah tells you that you can't eat before, then it's not something that's worth to do. On a public fast, we make all because we want everybody to fast. Tafresh min tzibur. We have to do things the tzibur can hold by. So that's why we make all. But on a public fast, someone's doing his own fast, if he cannot do it without eating before, best not to do it. He can poide it, give money to tzedakah. He can learn Torah, fund a shir. Many ways of marking your tzeit will be mechapa for any avera someone feels they've done, that gives them a cheshek that they feel they want to fast, that doesn't have to be fasting itself. So there's a slight difference. So that's the beginning. What about the end? So we learn from the Gemara in Sachim, that all Tanesim, including ones that are the Rabbanon, they all finish at Tzeis. Tzeis of Chavim, nightfall, that's when these finish. including Durabon. This is the psak of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Tam, the Levush, the Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah. Everyone goes with the same, most go with the consensus. All these places finish at seis. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and Rabbeinu Yonah ask the question, hold on. For Yom Kippur, I understand. Tanis finishes at seis. Why? It's Duraisa. But for the Rabbonans, why are they finishing at seis? The rule is, Safek Durabonan Lekula, Bein HaShemasho is from Shkia till seis, is a Safek Yom Safek Laila. I don't know whether today is the fast day or not the fast day. So therefore, we should finish earlier. They're only Midivrei Sefer. So we should be finished early in the principle Safek Durabonan Lekula. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's his psak. So the question is, why don't we pass that? It's a good psak. It makes sense. We see this by Erev Shabbos. Lo yigazru the Ben HaShemashos. So B'nei Madlikim, we say all the Durabonans, they don't apply Ben HaShemashos. At the end of B'nei Madlikim, we list things you can do, all the Durabonans that you can do Ben HaShemashos after Shkia if you didn't do them yet. There are caveats to that. The Mishnah Berurah holds you can only do it if you haven't been Mekabel Shabbos yet, or if you're a killer you're a member of hasn't been Mekabel Shabbos yet. But the general principle is that we see that in Ben HaShemashos, the Durabonans, lo yigazru the Ben HaShemashos. So why don't we say that here also? So a number of answers are given. One is based in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Berurah Halacha, in Reish Samach Gimel, says that there are limitations to Safek Durabonan Lekula. It's not a blanket, any Durabonan you find, if you've got a Safek, you don't have to keep it. One of the categories of limitations that he has is something that we do habitually. If there's a Durabonan that we do habitually, it's fixed for us that we always do it, then we can't say Safek Durabonan Lehaka. And these Tanesim, since they are fixed, they're kavur, we have to keep them year in, year out, we know when they are, they're habitual, and since they're habitual, then we don't have the heter of Safek Durabonan Lekula. So that's the observation, but there are other answers to this, but the halakha is not like that, the Aruch HaShulchan, even though the Durabonan, we do go all the way to the end. However, Erev Shabbos is also, so the question is, what's habitual? Erev Shabbos is habitual, but the specific melachas are not.
Why?
So some people don't do them. You don't have to do these halakha if you don't want to do Chazorah Ben HaShemashos. You don't have to. And the mass is that practically none of us do it. Especially in the Ashkenazi Olim, if you're following the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah holds that you can't do these Durabonans if you, yourself, or the killer you're a member of has been Mekabel Shabbos. Who goes to a shul that's Mekabel Shabbos after Shkia? We don't. Even the latest Kabbalah Shabbos in town is very, very Samach Shkia. So we don't have that time frame anyway. If we were doing that differently, if our custom habitually was to Mekabel Shabbos after Shkia, then maybe you could come in and say, look, habitually we do all these Durabonans before Shabbos. But we don't. The Tachlis is that we don't. It's not something that habitually every Friday, day in, day out, Ben HaShemashos, we do Issa Durabonan. There might be scenarios where we have to, or we do, or whatever, we work it out. But it's not a habitual thing that every Friday, Ben HaShemashos, we go and do Chazara Hatmona, Shehiya, or other things like that. So when it comes to, however, since we have to wait until Seis, but it is only Durabonan, I don't like using the word only because it's a bit mazilzal, but you know what I'm talking about. We don't have to wait for Rabbeinu Tam. Although, we like to call it Rabbeinu Tam. I always had it shver, why we call it Rabbeinu Tam? Because it's not, it sounds like it's his shitter. But some poskim list up to 80 Rishonim that all agree with Rabbeinu Tam's working out his money. So you've got 80 Rishonim, possibly up to 80 Rishonim that hold like him. He had the schus, we call it his man. But up to 80 Rishonim. And Shulchan Aruch paskins like that. Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. So why is it that we don't? So for these Tanisim, we should be pushing out not just for Zman Goinim, but also for, we should be going for Rabbeinu Tam's man. But Adkan, we don't go. So why not? Because even though the Shulchan Aruch and all these Rishonim paskin, that we go with Rabbeinu Tam's working out of the Zmanim, and therefore we should, at say, should be later than habitually we do it. Because it is a machlokes, and the general custom, Minag Yisrael Torah, that we don't, we only go for the Goinim, then we're not choishes for this when it comes to the Rabbonim. So the only time, practically, where we find that we are choishes for Rabbeinu Tam's Manim is when it comes to Issa Daraisa. When it comes to Issa Daraisa, so doing Malacha Motzei Shabbos, doing Malacha Motzei Yom Kippur, eating Motzei Yom Kippur, for those, we wait to Zman Rabbeinu Tam. But when it comes to anything else, davening, we daven before, even many poets can hold that, especially, again, Shvasa B'Talmud is a long tannis, that dafka, we should daven Mariv early tonight to enable us to eat as soon as possible. Yeah, Chazal didn't make these tannisim to put us betzal. The fact that we chose to live in Europe and then we've mitzayir ourselves with these long tannisim, that's on us. The one Shavuos night many years ago, I ate by the old sofa of Gateshead and we made kiddush at about midnight. And just because he was about to make Kiddush, he said, there were a few Bochrim there. And he said, Rabbi said, we see from this, the Torah was not made for Chutz La'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov didn't want us making Kiddush at midnight. Yeah, but we have, this is what we've done to ourselves. We live here, so this is the rules that we have. But we don't have to wait till Tzeis. And our question in the hold that don't have to, we have to wait till Tzeis, sorry. We don't have to wait till Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Even though the Loch is like that, we're only choshesh for an Issa Deraisa. This is no Issa Deraisa here. And again, even people should, especially if someone is not feeling well, feeling weak, you can daven Ma'ariv as early as possible so that you can eat straight away. There's no reason to prolong it any further. Talking about, we said Chazal don't like to mitzayah people, so let's move on to ladies. Now, as far as the consensus poskim is, there's no chiluk between men and women when it comes to tanesim. From a general klal, that just like men are mechuyev in these tanesim, women are also in chayev in tanesim. There is a custom in Chassidus Shavelt that women, all women of childbearing age, don't fast because it weakens them, and that's not what they're doing. They always say a joke that in the Haredi, a Haredi lady works hard from the age of 12 till she has a daughter who's 12. Yeah, then the gal, it goes over to the next one. So, but since a girl of childbearing age will make her weaker if she fasts, and there is a custom in the Chassidish world, it's based in the Darche Tshuva, who's the father of the Munkatcha, brings it, says, I have a Masoira for this. It's also born in the Piskei Tshuva, named in the name of the Kotzka. But this custom exists. So for those who have it, Minag HaShol Torahi, but there's no Makor for this custom, not, we don't find it, not in the Gemara, in the Shonim, early Achronim, we don't find anywhere a difference between men and women as a general cloud for this. Where do we find a difference? For ladies who are pregnant or after birth. So ladies who are pregnant, the general rule is that after the first trimester, they're exempt from fasting for these fasts. Yom Kippur there is a different shaila, but for these, the Rabbonans, Shvai Sabbatamas, they don't have to fast. Even in the first trimester, where generally speaking we are machmir, if they are not feeling well, morning sickness, anything like this, then they should also not fast. It's not they're in a state already of a weakened person, so there's no need to be makir on them. Some ladies fly through the first trimester without any problems. Other ladies already from day one, first trimester is already a hard experience to go through pregnancy, so we're quite lenient. What about afterbirth? So the Gemara Nida, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, says that a lady needs 24 months to recover from childbirth or a miscarriage. That's the rule. The Maharsham, who was the grandfather of Shalom Shadron, he brings this Gemara, and then Paskin Zalocha, that women are exempt from fasting for a full 24 months after every childbirth and every miscarriage. That's his psak. It's not just him. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Leibus, who was a Galitziana Rolf who moved to America in the 90s, just after the war, he ended up being the Av Basin of Igor Rabboni of Borough Park for many years, a big poisek in America. He agreed with Marsham. He told ladies straight away, first 24 months after miscarriage, after birth, no fasting. So, okay, Yom Kippur Tisha B'Av, he was makpid, or anything else not. It's also the Psach of Rabbi Yosef, that we learn from this Gemara, they're weak in this time, and therefore we don't do it. It's interesting, the Maharsham, his Piskei Halacha were not very makubal when he was alive. He wasn't followed very much. The Rabbonim at his time considered him to be a bit too lenient. They weren't so happy with his colours, and therefore his Piskei Halacha weren't very makubal in his time. Later on, they became more makubal, and the Maharsham now is considered a poisek on which we rely a lot. But in his own generation, he wasn't considered. He was considered too lenient. He didn't like him. Rav Yitzchak Yosef told the story that once he was with his father, and his father was learning the Maharsham. And he showed, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, pulled out a little note that was inside his copy of the Maharsham. And on that note, he had a list. It was a little note saying that Maharsham had put into Cheirim for passing too leniently. And he had the signatures at the bottom of various Rabbonim of his time that had signed this Cheirim for being too lenient. And Rav Yosef said to Rav Yitzchak, do you recognize any of these signatories? So he's looking at it. He said, nope. I've never heard of any of these Rabbonim. Says Rav Avadya, no, that's how it works. Yeah, the people who make a mechor, the Maharsham is still here. Those people who made the mechor are not here anymore. Yeah, koach hatera adif, as long as it's based on a valid basis, then that's the way that we go. People who make mechors for Rabbonim who are trying to be mekayim this derech, their Torah doesn't last. As we see, not one of these signatories of Yitzchak Yosef, again, massive. You know, Baldea hadn't heard of any of these Rabbonim. So we know Koch Erev, and it's interesting, the Rav Nachman Breslov always said that why is it that you find big tzaddikim, they never have menucha in this world. You always find people attack them, chepper them, think about the Rambam, think about the Ramchal was put into Cheirim. How many great gedolim at the time were rejected for various reasons, and it comes out that they today, they are rabbonim that everybody holds up, everybody learns, and everybody agrees with. So Nachum Resson says, it's a matana from Shemayim. Why? Kosh Baruch wants to save them from Yohara and from Gaiva. Says, if you become a big tzaddik and a big poisek, and everyone is Rav, the Rav, the Rav, says so Nachum Resson, that's not good for you. That's not great. Kosh Baruch wants to save these powerful tzaddikim from falling into that trap, and that's why he sends all the misnagdim against them to make sure that they sort of limit how far that they go. So when it comes to ladies, again, generally speaking, for men, there is heter again, sick, because not something I was planning on talking about today. Ladies, again, childbirth, the Maharsham general today is, I've heard many Rabbonim all seem to go with the Maharsham today, but especially if a lady doesn't feel well, for sure, 24 months after birth, then that's it. But generally speaking, when it comes to girls, unless you have this minhag, then girls from the age of 12 should also be fasting, again, unless you are specific. Children, however, normally we say chinuch. We're actually mechanach our children in derech haTorah. Does that apply to these tanisim? So Yom Kippur, we know it applies. The Shulchan Aruch already says, again, it wasn't popular when I pointed it out to my children, the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch says that they have to start fasting Yom Kippur already one or two Yom Kippurs at least before they turn Bar Bas Mitzvah. So my daughter wasn't happy when she was 10 years old and I showed her the Shulchan Aruch. She was not best pleased with me. So for Yom Kippur, we know we have this concept of being mechanach our children for tanisim. What about these tanisim? So in these tanisim, we go the opposite. We're not mechanach our children to fast on these fasts. General custom, again, people, different families, different customs. The general custom is that we don't teach our children to fast on these fasts, even for a few hours. Why not? Why are we doing it? We're doing it for chinuch. We want to mechanach them. When they're an adult, they'll have to do it. So we're preparing them the way already now for them. However, when it comes to these tanisim, what's our hope? That when our children grow up, they won't be keeping these tanisim. We hope that by the time our children hit Bar Bas Mitzvah, Mashiach would have come already, and we won't be keeping any of these tanisim. So why are we mechanach them to do something they'll never have to do? So when it comes to Yom Kippur, we know. That's a deraisa, and that's a chinuch that we're going to have. And when Mashiach comes also, whether Yom Kippur will still be there or not. But when it comes to these tanisim, we know when Mashiach comes, especially for Tisha B'Av, we know it will return from Eva, the Simcha. We know. So why are we educating them? The answer is we don't. So when it comes to children, there's no mitzvah or whatever for children under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah to fast on these tanisim. Yom Kippur is different. When it comes to children, we don't do it. Again, because of this reason, and we find in many of the Gedolim, and we usually have stories, some Gedolim, they had the Kinnus book for Tisha B'Av tattered, falling apart, pages completely ripped. I said, B'chol Rav, we'll buy you a new one. Said, no, I won't need it next year. Don't buy me one. Next year we're not going to need it. It's my last year using it. I'll put it away in the box. And then last minute, before Tisha B'Av, they dig it out of the box. Oh, never. We're stuck here again, and they go find it. Well, I don't remember who it was, and one Ashkenazi Gedolim, I don't remember who. Every year he had a beautiful new Kinnus book for Tisha B'Av. And I asked him why. He said, because every Motzei Tisha B'Av we put it in Gniza. I'm not going to use it next year. We're not going to do this next year. And Emunah Shleima Mashiach is coming next year, we're not doing it straight in Gniza. Last minute before Tisha B'Av, Mashiach didn't come. What can we do? He had to go and get a new one. So we see this concept. We don't want to mechanach our children for these because our hope is that they will never have to keep them. That's our Emunah Shleima that we want from them. And that's what we hope, and that's how we go. What about food? We know that on Yom Kippur, we're allowed to touch food. There's no issue of touching food on Yom Kippur. We can prepare food. We're not allowed to eat it. But we can prepare food. Again, Hilchos Shabbos supply, but getting food ready, feeding children, feeding the sick, all these other things that we can do. On Yom Kippur, there's no issue. However, the Taz and the Prima God in Paskin, that on these Tanesim, we have to treat food as muksa. We're not allowed to touch food on these Tanesim. Why? It says on Yom Kippur, if you're having food, what do you normally do? I mean, you ask the wives or the husbands, whoever prepares food in your house, you taste, you nash, you move. And I used to work as a Mashgiach Kashrus many, many years ago, doing classes and things. And there's food around you, and your automatic inclination is to just, you know, you just taste it. It's there, food in front of you. Yeah. So Yom Kippur, we're not worried for this. Why not? Because everyone has Yirum Yom Adin. We know Yom Noira. Everyone's scared. It's Yom Kippur. No one's gonna eat on Yom Kippur. When it comes to these Tanesim, we don't have the Yira. I don't feel very Yira today. I don't feel like it's Yom Kippur today. So the Taz and Prima Gadim are concerned that people may come to eat by accident. And therefore they paskin that you're not allowed to touch food. And the Chida also, the Chida and Tov Ayin also paskins like this. The person should not touch food on Yom Kippur. However, Halacha Lamasa is we're not Choshesh for these. People Lechat Chila want to be Choshesh, they're scared. Tavola Brocha. But especially when it comes to if you have small children at home, or you're caring for the elderly, whatever it happens to be, then you don't have to be choishesh for this. If a person can, and he has no reason to touch food for the day, he wants to be makayim, the psak, the prima godim, the taz, and and a chidah he can be. But again, it's not a chiyuv, it's not a halacha of the day. It's just an inyan that some people go by. Yes? Yes, so you are allowed to buy food. There's no issue with buying food. We've not seen it anywhere. The concern is preparing it because you're sort of touching it, eating it. Most people don't walk around the shop eating food. Children tend to. But we used to tell the children, save the packets for the counter, so at least we pay for it if you're not shooting the way through to keep them quiet as we go around.
Would Tanis Esther be different?
Would Tanis Esther
also be different?
Yeah, then again, Tanis Esther in its very essence is different. Because Tanis Esther, we're not remembering something bad that went wrong. We're emulating the Maaseh of Esther that saved us. So it's a very different cheshbon, Tanis Esther, to the other four. That's why you'll find it's Dalid Tomas, and Tanis Esther is not considered one of them. For that reason, it's a completely different hashkof of the day of how we're working out and what's happening. I just want to get one more halacha quickly. We know that on the Tanis, we put Anenu into the Shemoneh Esrei. So in order to say Anenu for the Shlech, so in the Lachash we say it to ourselves, then in the Chazar it's a standalone bracha that the Shlech Tzibah says when he goes to the Chazar. Yeah, Shach. So in order, Shachas Amincha. So if you want to, some of the custom based on the Rashi and Tanis to say Anenu in the Lachash of Mariv the night before. Some killers have this custom, it's based on the Rashi and the Sechas Tanis. But again, general customs like that, unless you're in those communities. So we're saying Anenu, you have to have at least 6 people in the minyan that are fasting. Although the Beis Yosef says 10, well, the Beis Yosef is talking about Tanis Yochid. He's not talking about these. The Beis Yosef is talking about a case where 10 people are fasting for whatever reason. They've come together, Dav Mincha, and they want to take out Sefer Torah. They want to say Anenu, Kalein also. Then they have to have 10 of them fasting. So, for example, Erev Pesach. If you have a group of Bechorim who are fasting Erev Pesach, and they get together and make a minyan, there's 10 of them, then they can say, the Shlech Tzibah can say Anenu as a standalone bracha in a Chazara. They can take a Sefer Torah, same Erev Rosh Chodesh. You have 10 people, custom Erev Rosh Chodesh. If that's what the Beis Yosef is talking about, if you want to do that, not a general custom that we do, but if you want to, you need 10. But for a Tanis Tzibah, you only need 6. As long as 6 people in the minyan are fasting, then you're allowed to carry on with it. Now, if somebody comes late, not that you should ever come late, but if someone comes late to davening, and they miss the Lachash, so what they're doing is they're davening together the Shemoneh Esrei with the Chazar. So the halacha is, if you want to Mekayim Tfilah B'Tzibah, Mon the Kaf HaChaim, Chazan Ish, what you have to do is you have to daven your Shemoneh Esrei B'Lachash word for word together with the Shlech Tzibah. Now, if you're doing this on a Tanis, what do you do with the Anenu? Because if you're going through, you get to the standard rock of Anenu of the Shlech Tzibah is before where you would say it in Shema Tefillah as a Yochid. So the loch is when if you are davening together with him, when he gets the standard bracha, you stop, you listen, and then when he carries on, you carry on. You don't say the bracha with him. But what do you do when you get to Shema Tefillah then? When you get to Shema Tefillah, what do? The Shlech Tzibah is not going to say it. Now if I put it in, I'm out of sync with him, and I'm going to miss Moedim. One of the reasons why you should say it together with is you do Moedim together with the Tzibah. I'm going to miss Moedim. So what should I do? Since I've heard Shmer Tefillah from him, should I now skip out Shmer Tefillah now so that I can do Moedim later on with the Kehillah? Or should I do it now? Should I just say, look, now is my time to say Anenu, it's in my Nusach HaTefillah, I have to say it now. And if I miss Moedim, I miss Moedim. The Chesed Alafim, which is the Halacha Seif of the Peleyot, he asked this question. And he paskens that he should say Anenu, even if he's going to miss Moedim with the Kehillah. He says, why? He bases it on a Radbaz. The Pesach of the Radbaz is that if a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, even a small one, he has to do it when that opportunity comes. He can't say, I'm going to skip out this mitzvah because I might do a bigger mitzvah later. This mitzvah he has now of saying Anenu in the Tefillah, it's a small mitzvah. He's heard the Shlech Tzibah saying it already. Moedim together with the Tzibah is a much more choshev azach. He says, no, you should do that. We don't push off mitzvahs, even small things, in order to a big one later. The example the Radbaz brings in his psak is if someone is in prison and he gets a day release, but he can choose the day. So the Shai was asked the Radbaz, he wanted to push it off till Purim. Purim was coming. He says, look, I want to stay in prison till Purim. If I get out of Purim, I can be mekayim so many more mitzvahs that day than if I took it out on a normal day. And the Radbaz told him, no, take the first opportunity to get out, and whatever mitzvahs you do, you do. We don't push off the opportunity to do mitzvahs for what might happen later on.
Why can't he say Anenu with the Shlech Tzibah? Why can't he say Anenu earlier with the Shlech Tzibah?
Because he can't, that's matakan as a standalone bracha for Shlech Tzibah. So as a yochid, you can't say it.
It's based on the
But saying it as it, so Kedusha is different. Kedusha is not a standalone bracha for the Shleach Tzibur. Kedusha is something for the Tzibur to say as a, because it has to be done b'tzibur anyway. So you're mishtafik for that. When it comes to that as a standalone bracha, that Chazal Matakin just for the Shleach Tzibur to say, and Yochid can't say it. So Yochid has to say he's silent. But when it comes to Shemaya, then based on this Rabbaz, said he should skip it out. Why? Because the important principle is that mitzvah bayadech atach mitzena, that applies to all mitzvahs, and a person shouldn't say, look, if I skip out this small mitzvah and the bigger one later, you don't know what's going to happen later. When you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, says the Radbaz, cheslafim on this, do it straight away. It doesn't matter which mitzvah it is. The Hashem should all be zoicha to next year. We won't have Shasa before. We won't have to take, even this year, we're still time not to take out our Tikkun Tisha B'Av, our Kinnas books. The Hashem, we won't have to. But if we do after this year, the Hashem, at least next year, we won't have to. Faith to the mountain, Kyogre, Terra, Gilly, Kadavis, Kadash, Mirabo, Yamato, Rafi, Sami, Amy, Honsay, High Horn of Yamikhan, Hyde, Hobbit, Sir. Uncle always man, Raven, Rowan.